Alrighty, welcome back. You've got the financial guys in for Sandy Beach here, News Radio 930 WBEN, and we now have John Thurr in the hot seat as well. John, again, is our chartered financial analyst in the office for Independent Solutions on our investment committee as well, and as we like to dub him, the smartest guy in the office. So, John, welcome. Thank you for joining us. Appreciate it.
Hi, Glenn.
So before we get started here and take more calls, if you do want to join us, by the way, we are talking markets. We are talking about the sell-off in the last couple of weeks, obviously, taking your calls and questions, anything you have in regards to you and your money. We're also talking about the budget. We had a brief shutdown last night. I'm sure it affected all of you out there.
Up all night, by the way.
Up all night. Just, you know, on pins and needles, making sure that, you know, the government opened this morning for just to be sure. So we'll talk about that. We'll take your calls and questions on that as well. 803-0930 and *930 is a free call to sell. If you want to text us, that is 3930-30930. We're reading text as we go as well. Before we go back to the phones and before we go back to the text, I wanted to read you guys a quick joke that somebody sent to me. I'm not sure if you heard this before. And tell me if you have. Have you heard the three contractors and the broken fence of the White House joke?
No.
Okay, so this is how government works, right? So three contractors are bidding to fix a broken fence at the White House. One is from Chicago, another one is from Tennessee, and the third is from Montana. All three go with a White House official to examine the fence. The Montana contractor takes out a tape measure and does some measuring, then works some figures with a pencil. Well, he says, I figure the job will run about $900. That's $400 for materials, $400 for my crew, and $100 profit for me. The Tennessee contractor also does some measuring and some figuring, then says, I can do this job for about $700. That's $300 for materials, $300 for my crew, and $100 profit for me. The Chicago contractor doesn't measure or do any figuring, but he leans over to the White House official and he whispers, $2,700. The official, incredulous, says, you didn't even measure like the other guys. How did you come up with such a high figure? And the contractor whispers back, well, it's $1,000 for me, $1,000 for you, and we hire the guy from Tennessee to fix the fence. That, my friends, is government stimulus and how we end up spending, you know, an extra $1 trillion a year. That's exactly how it works.
That is the deal. That is the deal. That's exactly right. And if you don't believe it, it happens on a federal level and it happens on a state level.
And
if you don't believe that, on a local level, look at Solar City, right?
That's right.
By the way, can I just read some text which relates to that? So somebody says, well, what? I'm a wastewater treatment operator. Yeah, there's no abuse in abuse there. Hasn't that been the running joke in Erie County for like 75 years that the water authority, for your friends and family?
Nepotism.
Yeah. By the way, the other one is Z's, and this is the same mental midget that sent us. We were filling in for Sandy the other day that said, if you don't like New York, move out. So just pack up your business that you've spent your entire life and all the risk and
lay up
hours and
hours
of employees and just get out. This is the same.
If everybody said that, who would pay for anything?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, but you know what's amazing to me about these clowns is that this guy, I'm sure he's, again, another liberal living in his mother's basement, has got all kinds of, I think he was attacking us on Twitter as well, all kinds of time to tune into our show. Apparently he's bored because he says Z's, but he's still not bright enough to change the dial or yet, even better, go out and get a job so you don't have to put up with our show. I mean,
that's right.
Priceless,
exactly.
Really priceless.
It's amazing.
So John Thurr in studio with us. Thank you, by the way.
You're welcome. Thanks for inviting me.
Nervous about this market?
No, I love it. One of my clients texted me because I always tell my clients, don't panic in these markets. I love these when it sells off because it gives an opportunity to buy some things that were expensive that I didn't buy.
Yeah.
And I got a text from one of my clients said, are you loving this market? And I said, yeah.
You've trained them well.
Yeah.
You've trained them well. That's
exactly.
Funny. People have asked us yesterday, you get a lot of panic calls. We got a few, but not many. I mean, most of our clients, they get it. We do a lot of homework before. We try to figure out an asset allocation, a plan. And we say, look at stuff like this is going to happen. And what we're not going to do is panic. We're not going to scream and cry. We're going to slowly make adjustments to take advantage of it.
Well, you know, I've been talking about this for over a year, about interest rates, about where they need to be, where they should be, where they're going. And we've been prepared. You know, we've been having our fixed income portfolios are more short in duration, short-term bonds maturing so that as rates move up, we can reinvest at higher yields. The stock portfolios have been reconfigured the last 6 months of 2017 because what's going on is a lot of people think we're at the end of the bull market. And they've been invested accordingly. But where they're making their mistake is, I believe we're at the beginning of an economically driven bull market. Mm-hmm. We've had a financially engineered bull market. So it's a different market, and you have to invest differently. So I've changed the portfolios more toward growth and more to take advantage of an economic growth scenario. So I'm more into industrials. I'm more heavily in cyclicals. I'm more heavily in technology. And these are the stocks you want to be in at the beginning of an economic cycle.
John, talk about the balance sheets of corporate America, because I don't know that at any time in my lifetime they've been, it seemingly, as healthy as they are today.
I can say two things, and I agree with you, that a lot of the companies I invest in, I've never seen the balance sheets better than they are right now. But there are some that have kind of ruined their balance sheets, getting on the bandwagon of buying back their stock with debt. So they issue debt and they buy back their stock. What we try to invest in is companies that use their cash flows from the business to buy back the stock.
That was one of the arguments yesterday I heard from somebody on CNBC, or maybe it was the middle of last week, was look at, you know, there's not as much buyback going on this month, and that's, it's not so much sellers, but not a lot of buyers out there. Do you believe that?
I think that there's something to that, and I think the corporations are starting to get prepared and see it. They're getting ready to invest, and I'm going to be watching CapEx spending. Over the next 3 to 6 months, I think we should start to see a definite pickup in capital spending. Instead of corporations using CapEx and increasing their CapEx spending and growing their businesses over the last 8 years, they've been buying back their stock, and they've been increasing the dividends to create value. You got to remember, the CEOs are incentivized with stock, and they make money when the stock price goes up. So they're designing their business, you know, acumen to say, okay, how do we get the price up?
Yeah.
Well, we buy back the stock, okay, to get the shares down. So the earnings per share goes up, even if the earnings don't go up. So sales and earnings have been pretty flat for quite a long time, but the buybacks have helped propel the stock prices. And then the same thing with the dividends. Increase the dividends creates a better yield for your stock. So when it's better relative to fixed income, you'll get buyers to come in, and that pushes the price up. Mm-hmm. So that's the kind of engineered market we've had. Now we're going to transfer. PE ratios are as high as they can be, relatively speaking, at 25 times. Now, how do you grow? Your earnings have to grow faster than your price. So this is what the shift is now. You have to own companies that are actually going to produce and create earnings. And that hasn't been going on in the last 10 years.
That's right.
That's right. So a little bit more selective in some of the things that you buy.
Exactly.
803-0930 and star 930. Let's sneak in a call before the break. Is that okay, guys?
Yeah, let's do
all right, let's go to
Bill
in Gasport. There we go.
Bill, how are you, buddy?
Hey, sorry about that, gentlemen. What I'm mainly calling about right now on that is I'm looking into doing something else with my advisor and everything. I don't know if you guys know anything about a brokerage account.
A brokerage account? Bill?
I think we lost Bill.
I'm here.
All right,
he's there.
Bill, was your question, do we know anything about a brokerage account?
Pretty broad question, but
yeah, I mean, a brokerage account is just really where you're going to custody the assets. So you would open up an account, a brokerage account. I could tell you some of the brokerage accounts that we use are Raymond James, Fidelity, Charles Schwab, Ameritrade. We have a number of different toolboxes that we use, and that's where you do the trade. So yeah, I mean, that's pretty common in the business, is to open an account. You got to do that. You got to open a brokerage account somewhere if you're going to invest and buy some stocks and bonds.
Look at a brokerage account like a cookie jar. I mean, seriously.
That's right.
You can put anything in there. You can put oatmeal cookies in there, or oatmeal raisin, or peanut butter, or chocolate chip. It's just the container that holds your investments, really, is all it is. So you can set up a blanket brokerage account and buy all sorts of different types of stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, or whatever else you want in there. All right. Does that help you out, Bill?
I was thinking about doing that with it, because I did invest in something else in that paid me 10% a year on my initial investment and everything. And we did pretty good on that for the first year and everything. And we'll keep doing that for the rest of the time in there, because we've been investing for a long time and doing things a lot of people wouldn't do in that, because I've had some people indicate to me in that when AES, I don't know if you guys remember AES and everything when it was around here, we bought it at $8 a share, and then it went down to $2, and then we sold it at $16 and something a share, and
very good
profit off of that. And
well, good for you.
There you go.
One thing I do notice in that is I know the stock market is doing good. I have no problem in it. I don't think anybody should, because a lot of I've this is what my belief is. A lot of people are selling off to the people and the corporations and that, like Soros and that, who get some of their dividends at this time and that when it's high, so they can make a lot of money and then they can sell it and off and that. And this way and that, they don't have to pay a lot in their income tax for the year or in pay Social Security and that. I think that's what a lot of the selling off is right now. That's the way I look at it.
Well, thanks for the call,
Bill. Thanks for the call, Bill. I appreciate it. And we'll talk about a little bit of that after the break, because you probably do have a little bit of just simply portfolio rebalancing that's causing some of the downside, right?
It's funny because I hear interest rates, hear all this stuff. And to me, I think, wait a minute, we've had 15 months without a correction.
Here's the simple way for people to understand it. When the financial crisis hit, they started talking about the economy as like the patient. You know, the financial system, and we're the patient. The patient needs this. They need that. Low interest rates, zero interest rates. Well, the patient's been on meds for 10 years, and now it's addicted, okay? Now they got to figure out, how do we get the patient off the narcotics?
Right. We're going through withdrawal right
exactly.
now. That's what this is.
And now they're finally starting to understand that the 10-year yield and the longer end is going to move up. 2 years ago, in 2016, the same thing happened. January, the market sold off 10% because the Fed in December of 15 said, we're going to raise rates three times or four times in 2016. The market had a temper tantrum, and the Fed backed off.
Yeah. Best way, by the way, to get the Fed out of your way, right, is to just drop the market by 10%.
Well, now they're testing the new Fed governor, and they're going to see if he's going to back off. Well, now they're realizing, guess what? You know, this is real. And now they got the quant models that have been running this thing with this passive investing. They are modeling in a 3.25 or a 3.5 10-year to see what it tells them. And it's telling them stocks are too expensive with that quant model putting that factor in.
Yeah,
and that's what precipitated the sell-off. What exacerbated it, if you watched, I think it was Monday, when the market was off like 800 points. And then all of a sudden, you know, at 3 o'clock, that whole VIX short trade started blowing up, and the market sold off down to 1600.
Yeah,
and it's right. Like that was the icing on the cake. Now you've got all the derivative stuff blowing up when the market hit its fourth derivative, you know, exponential.
But don't make panic decisions. Get the wish list together. Yeah. Get your plan together. Do it before. I can't stress enough, you need homework. We have a homework process. By the way, if you want to pop into our office, interview our team, and we work as a team. You're listening to one of them here, Chartered Financial Analyst. 633-1515, 633-1515. Glenn, a text just came in. Okay, have my beverage ready. When does the great Sandy Beach drinking game start?
Oh,
we are filling in for the great Sandy Beach.
It starts right now.
We're
going to take a very short break, and we'll have more filling in for the great Sandy Beach here. We will have, go back to the phones when we come back to. We got Pamela up on deck. We'll go to you first. And of course, if you want to join us, 803-0930, *930 is a free call on us, 1-800-616-9236. You've got the financial guys in for the great Sandy Beach here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Yeah, we'll be right back. You've got the financial guys along with John Thur, our chartered financial analyst, in for the great Sandy Beach. The drinking game has started, by the way. So WBEN listeners are hardcore. I mean, 10 o'clock rolls around and they are looking for their drinking game. And you found it here. You say great, you take a drink. By noon,
this guy will be smashed by quarter to 11.
Yeah, exactly.
You asked for it. That's what you egg us on, and that's what happens.
Right.
So the great Sandy Beach.
If you do want to join us here filling in for the great Sandy Beach, you can reach us here at 803-0930. *930 is a free call and a sell. And, of course, 1-800-616-9236. You can also text us at 3930. Let's go back to the phones and see if we can't sneak in one more before the bottom of the hour here. And go to Pamela in Lewiston. Pamela, you are live on the great Sandy Beach Show with the financial guys filling in.
Pamela, how are you?
Good. Good morning. How are you?
We're great.
Terrific.
I have a question regarding Target retirement funds.
Okay.
Your opinion on those. My husband and I are 45, 46. We've had them for quite a while. And we're in 2040s and 2035s. And they've been doing very well with everything else. And recently not so great. But I'm just long-term. What's your thoughts on those?
Well, let me ask you this, Pamela. It's the Target fund is inside your 401k plan?
Yes. These are all 401ks I'm speaking about.
Okay. So in a perfect world, let me take a crack at this. In a perfect world, if you came into our office, we use toolboxes like Fidelity, Charles Schwab, Ameritrade. We have access to pretty much every manager in stock and bond that I could think of, right? So what we would want to do is we would want to create a model where we're looking to try to create an all-star team. And that is a downfall of these target funds, because what target funds will do is they'll take one fund family typically and put all their stuff in it. And so what they're ultimately saying is, hey, we do the best at everything, okay? And that's a negative. A positive, however, is that you are diversified. And that, to me, is more important than anything. I think being diversified, number one. Number two, what the target funds will do is they will automatically rebalance often and take advantage of volatility. Number three, if it's a 401k plan, you probably don't have a lot of options, so the target fund might be the best. But the other thing is do a little bit of homework to try to find out which target fund matches up with your goals and objectives. So, you know, like you said, 2030, 2040, the longer you go out, the more aggressive you are, which means the more stocks you're going to have, the closer you're to retire. So do a little bit of homework. And then if your 401k plan does offer you more options, you might be able to create your own model with better performing funds. One last thing, and then I'll hand it over to these guys. One of the things you said is, oh, it's doing great. Well, a lot of times people might think it's been doing great, but we want to compare apples to apples, right? So sometimes folks will come into our office and they'll say, oh, look at this. This has earned 8%. It's been really doing well. And I'll say, not so good. What do you mean? It's 8%. That's good. Well, everybody else trying to do the same thing earned 11. So 8 doesn't look so hot. But if everybody else did 6 and you earned 8, then you're doing good, right? So I would encourage you to, if you want to, you can pop into our office. We have some tools through a company called Morningstar where we can plug in your target fund and actually rate it against other things trying to do the same thing, okay? Other money managers trying to do the same thing.
There's a couple things I like to tell people, especially the younger or middle-aged when they're doing their 401k investing. Two things. One, usually there's a matching involved. And with the matching, let's say you put 3% in and they put 3%. You just got 100% return.
Yeah.
Okay. So with that matching, maybe you are a little aggressive with the company's money and you're very conservative with your own money. Mm-hmm. So basically you're playing with the house's money.
Yeah.
So you balance it, but you look at it that way, that you keep what you put in relatively simple and safe, and you take the money they put in and you then manage it with a little more risk. The second thing is I like people to understand that don't rely on just your 401k. You should try to save outside the 401k. And nobody talks about, in the end, what you do when you retire. Well, if all you have is 401k money and you roll it into an IRA rollover, and people come into me and say, I got $1 million, I'm ready to retire. I said, well, if you took it all out tomorrow, it'd be worth like 600 grand. What? Right. Well, it's all taxable. They go, well, I said, well, you know, I can't do, you know, and I'm like, well, you got
to work.
That's
when you slide it out. You say, welcome to the conservative party.
Exactly.
That's right. Get him a voter registration.
Go back to work. Go back to work another 5 years. Okay. Pay off all your debts and then come back. But you have to put some money on the side.
Hold that thought. Pamela, thanks for the call. Hopefully that helps out.
Yeah. Thanks, Pamela. Appreciate it. And we'll take more of your calls and questions the other side of the break. 803-0930-930 is a free call and a sell. And again, 1-800-616-9236. You've got the financial guys in for Sandy Beach. We'll be right back here at News Radio 930. WBEN. All righty, welcome back. You've got the financial guys in for Sandy Beach, the great Sandy Beach here on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Did we say that yet, the great Sandy Beach?
I don't know that we did. Did we mention that he is great? Three-time Hall of Famer great. I mean, that's how great Sandy Beach is. So.
That's right.
And we miss listening to him, too, although we enjoy being in for him. We do appreciate it. Thank you to Tim Wenger. Thank you to everybody at WBEN for putting up with us and trusting us with the golden microphone here on the Sandy Beach Show. So we certainly appreciate that.
Yep.
He'll be back as soon as he gets some rest over the weekend. And I think everyone's struggling with that same cough, respiratory voice thing. Right?
Yeah, so I know. It's certainly Sandy's not alone, that's for sure. Right.
Yeah, no doubt.
So, I mean, the trade-off is they gave us Beamer, you know, as opposed to somebody who was a little bit more experienced and more committed to the show. But like Caligiuri, he's committed to the show. He's been awake
he's
the
focused.
Whole time. You, my
Absolutely.
Friend. You're like 50-50.
Wait a minute.
You're a non-essential employee.
No, I believe I am the most essential employee. Here I am. I'm getting stats. I'm responding to texters for you.
The stats for your fantasy football league for next year are not. That doesn't count.
Hey, let me tell you something.
I do appreciate. By the way, this left-wing nutjob that has been texting us nonstop, he is now starting to get funny. Thank you. Right. Because he did say, Mom, Meatloaf, what is she doing? I never know what she's doing back there. So good for you. Good for you.
Yeah. If we could pick up everybody, the people, the community, the employees, the clients, and relocate it just south of the New York border, maybe even Pennsylvania, where the taxes and regulations are a lot better, we would probably do it. But it's not as easy as it sounds.
Just to bring everybody up to speed, we filled in for Sandy Beach the other day, and he sent us a message that said, if you don't like New York, just get out. Well, yeah. It's a lot easier said than done when you started a company when you're 20 years old. You've put everything into it. You worked three jobs at one point to take the money from the two jobs to put it into building your company.
Years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll just fold it for you and my liberal friends because you're unhappy and you're ruining the state with your massive amount of government waste and welfare.
It's not that we don't like New York State or Western New York. We love it here. That's why we stay. Right. We love it here, but we want to fight for it, and we want it to be better.
Yes,
that's all.
Absolutely.
And look, New York State's budget is twice that of Florida, $168 billion for the state. Now, Florida can seemingly run it for half. They're running it for $82 billion.
Right.
It's like a drop
How do they do that?
It
was funny the other day. Somebody said, well, you know, yeah, but they don't have to put up with winter and salt. Okay.
Right.
Yeah, right.
They're not surrounded by salt water.
Yeah. That's right. There's no salt down there. Let me tell you something. I have never seen salt eat stuff apart so fast as I have in Florida. Right.
But this is how liberalism works.
Yeah.
In the air. But this is how liberalism works in the country, right? In San Diego, we were just out there. We just talked about this earlier this week. The roads are crumbling. They're falling apart, right? We were going down the road. It's like, you know, we were all out there. We do bumping. There's cracks. I was shocked at how the infrastructure is crumbling. Now, in San Diego, we just gave them over $1 billion to extend their trolley car, right? Their trolley car, we extended a whopping 10 miles. Now, mind you, for that same $1 billion, we could have repaved 100 to 250 new miles of four-lane highways. So they could have fixed all of their roads with that same $1 billion. They could have put that in and made them, you know, nice and smooth and fixed all the cracks and fixed all the potholes. But instead, they took that $1 billion and they added 10.9 miles to their trolley service that nobody rides. Because in the liberals' mind, everybody should be using mass transit, riding their bicycle, or getting to work on horseback. God forbid you drive a gas-powered automobile.
Right.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, that's right.
That's liberalism.
That's
fine.
Hey, Mr. Beamer, you got some fans here. Oh, don't pick on Joe. Oh, don't worry. Joe throws it right back at us. So.
That's right.
Yes, I did text that.
He's a big boy. When he's up, see, that's the thing.
I've been awake. Mike, unlike you, I've been awake since 3:30 this morning, and I think I'm doing just fine.
I told you, I was up all night. I was worried that the non-essential workers were not going to be there this morning. I have been up all night. I didn't take a break. Until that budget passed, I was there all night. All night.
Well, then I really have no comeback. But I've been up since 3:30. I watched SpongeBob till 4, and then I came into work.
That's a great way to start a day. Yeah. How's your hula hooping going, by the way? Have you been working on that at all?
You know what? I have been working on it inside. I think I'll be able to work a little more when it's nicer out, and I have the whole backyard to see how my hips in the hula hoop can connect.
Yeah, nobody wants to see that, but we will have the hula hoop challenge. By the way, the texter comes in, Florida survives with their state budget supplemented by tourism. Yeah, because we don't have Niagara Falls in our backyard.
Because nobody comes to New York State for tourism.
Niagara Falls, which New York State has completely ruined.
Because we don't have the Finger Lakes.
Or New York City. Nobody ever visits New York City.
No.
Or the Adirondack Mountains and all the beautiful hiking trails.
Let me tell you how Florida makes their roads and their bridges look nice. It's called the gasoline tax, and the federal government gives them money that they actually use for the roads and bridges, as opposed to throwing it into the general fund where they pee it away on welfare.
That's right.
Yeah.
They also or maintain the canal.
Seriously. They also don't pay their legislators, you know, six-figure salaries for a part-time job either. That also helps.
That's right. Tony, by the way, you have a fan too. They used to work with you at WXRL, and they love you. We haven't had one of those I love you ones yet, though. So Tony and Beamer, you're getting I love you texts.
Oh, thank you.
Glenn and Mike are getting...
I think I know who it's from.
Yeah, move out of the state text. Get the hell out of town text. That's okay. We're big boys. That's right. All right. If you want to join us here, 803-0930, *930 is a free call to cell, 1-800-616-9236, and of course, 3930 if you do want to text us here. Some more kind of wasteful spending. It's just amazing. It never seems to stop. Federal government spent $1.6 billion to purchase around 64,500 passenger cars, trucks, and vehicles over the past 4 years. In just 1 year, in 2015, federal agencies spent $3.4 billion to maintain and operate 450,000 vehicles already owned by the government. Here's the problem. the Government Accountability Office conducted a review of three federal agency vehicle purchasing programs and found there's no way of knowing if the cars are actually even being used or if they're just sitting in a parking lot somewhere, you know, rusting away, right?
Not a penny.
So
can't find a penny.
Dollars, right? $5 billion being spent, 1.6 for new cars, 3.4 for existing cars maintaining them, and yet somehow they don't even know if they have the cars. Right?
You'd think that would be important, right? I mean, you think that would be part of the inventory is, wait a minute, we got this bill. Do we have these cars? Are they here?
That's right.
How does that happen?
Well, how about this? The Inspector General just released a report last year. They found that the Department of Defense was unable to keep track of more than $1 billion of equipment. So even more serious. We're not talking about cars and automobiles.
Right.
These could be rocket launchers and tanks here, right?
Yeah.
No idea.
Who's keeping count? Who's
Humvees,
keeping count?
Yeah, items like Humvees, small arms, mortars, and other weapons meant for forces in Iraq. We can't track them. We have no idea where they went.
No idea where they went. Humvees.
Humvees and mortars. Yeah. If there's a mortar attack somewhere in the country, we'll know where the mortars came from.
Nowhere.
They came from the lost weapons from the Department of Defense.
Nowhere to cut. Nearly not on that same scale, but just as funny. $550,000 on a documentary on how rock and roll contributed to the end of the Cold War.
Oh,
yeah, 550 grand.
Yeah, it wasn't Ronald Reagan, and he had nothing to do with it.
No, it's rock and roll.
Focus on how rock and roll did it. Right,
that's rock and roll.
Yeah, it was Jimi Hendrix and the like that was able to defeat the Russians.
Yeah, maybe you can come back with some Hendrix. It'll
unbelievable.
It'll cure the show, I guess.
Oh yeah. All right, let's take a quick. We're up against the clock here, right? For a break already, it seems. Want to go to a break?
Let's take a quick break, and John Thurber will go back to the phone lines. Norman Tonawanda up on deck first.
All right, Norm, you're up next. We come back 803-0930 *930 is a free call and a sell. And by the way, folks, if you do need us during the week, we do a show here every Saturday from 1 to 3. You can also follow us on Facebook, like us on Twitter, or the opposite, I guess. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at FinGuys. You can also hit our website at thefinancialguys.com. You can ask a question through there, or you can just call our office at 633-1515. All right, very short break. You've got more of the Financial Guys in for the great Sandy Beach here on News Radio 930 WBE.
I will say, though, that we have the opposite problem at our office, and that's the truth, that I have to get people like Sue Ryan and literally like escort her out of the building. I'm like, okay,
so
literally,
get
out.
Go. It's time to take some time off.
I forgot what night it was last week, and I saw her there, and I leave late usually.
Yeah.
And I told her, don't stay here overnight.
Yeah.
I said, go home.
Yeah, right. We literally have to escort her out of the building. I will literally call her.
Weren't you learning that yesterday?
Yeah. I'll say, Sue, it is 7 o'clock. Go home. Right.
Yeah, very loyal folks for sure. All right, if you want to join us here, 803-0930*930. We'll go back to the phones in just a second. Throughout the break, the Dow went from a couple hundred points up to 250 points down, and now is only about 80 points down. So talk about I'm just talking throughout the break.
Yes.
And that was just in that 4 or 5 minute
break.
That was
crazy. We were watching it. Yeah, we're watching it on Fox News here. John, look, you got a smile on your face. You're like, I'm sure some of our listeners are like, you sick, but – but you love this. This is time to buy. In fact, during the break, you said, look, I've been waiting for this for 15 months to be able to, get some position that I like.
Yep. And I think that I was telling Mike, I think it's very healthy when you come in and the market's up and you get some sellers come in. And then when it drops to a certain level, buyers come in. I'd be more worried if we opened up and it went down. And then the next day we opened up and it went down. And all you'd have is one side is sellers. But there is money coming in. When we hit certain levels, things look attractive. And I think that's very positive.
Yeah. And I think you'll keep looking at the bigger context, right? Because it's so funny. I did an interview with Tom Puckett last week. And he said, well, you thought it would be – you liked the fact that it was 1,000 points, even though nobody likes that. But sometimes when you get 1,000 points, 500 points – that's a lot better than a slow, steady grind of 50, 100 points a day for the next 2 years, right?
Right.
But he said, I thought it would rip the Band-Aid off. Well, it's a big Band-Aid. You don't know where the bottom of this stuff's going to fall.
Right. This has been building for 10 years,
yeah.
Like I said. And now we're getting a definite sea change, like we just talked about, where the market, I think, is going to trade sideways for probably 15 months.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to go between 2,400 and 2,800 on the S&P. Yep. And in that sideways movement, if you're not in the right sectors, in the right names, or if you're not managing it, you're not going to perform. In the end of 15 months, you're probably not going to go much of anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But there is volatility, and it's going to be up and down. And when it's at the high end of the range, now you can feel comfortable letting some expensive stocks go and going to a money market that might pay you 2% instead of zero. And then wait. And when it goes to the bottom of the range, you add some stocks that look cheap. And this is what an active manager is going to do that's going to help outperform an index.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, it, you know, it's stock picker's market here for sure. I mean, some stocks are blowing up. You know, Expedia is down like 20 points right now, down 15%. But on the flip side, NVIDIA is up, right?
So oh, yeah. They crushed the numbers yesterday.
Yeah. So, you know, very selective about, you know, the stocks and bonds that you're buying. Or if you're in the side of ETFs or funds, you know, make sure they're the right ones to own. All right. If you need us throughout the week, 633-1515. If you want to join us here on the air, 803-0930 and *930.
So we'll go to the phones here. We did get a text. Mike, the biggest catchphrase of the world, diversify, diversify. Do you know how many times you've said that this month? Diversify my you-know-what. Into several pieces. You can't say it enough. And shame on you. First of all, these wimps send a text in. Like, call me, first of all. Second of all, I will say it until I'm blue in the face. It is the right advice to give. Diversify, 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 and make subtle changes along the way. And I'll tell you this, whoever's texting me this, we help a lot of people by doing that because we keep them focused on what really makes sense, what the real prize is, which is where do we want your portfolio to be a year from now, 2 years from now, not 2 days from now.
What people don't understand is money moves, and it's the movement and the flow of money that really creates the markets. And we've come into this flow market probably the last 10 or 15 years I've watched it. And the flow of money moves from U.S., then it goes to international, then it might go to emerging markets, then it might come back into small caps instead of large caps. So if you're diversified and you've got all the buckets and money's moving around, you're in the game.
You're there.
If you're That's not right. and your particular assets you own aren't doing well, you're leaving money on the table.
Yep.
And that's a good point. Diversifying does not mean owning a bunch of stuff.
Right.
It means owning different categories of the market on the stock side and the bond side. So we'll see people that will come in and say, I think I'm pretty well diversified. I've got 10 different portfolios here, except they're all growth stocks, or they're all growth funds, or they're all growth ETFs. That's not diversification. Diversification means domestic, large cap, small cap, international, emerging markets, bond side, high yield, government, short terms, midterms, long terms, and so on and so forth. Having assets in different buckets is the proper way to do it.
And different
ways. If you want to over-concentrate and you want to take excess risk, be my guest. You know, have at it, Mr. Texter or Mrs. Texter. Mm-hmm. But you're the one that's going to get hurt in the long term, and that's just that's on you.
And you adjust the weightings over time. As let's say all of a sudden your small cap portfolio, you had it at 10%, now it's 20. Well, that tells you it's done very good.
Put it back to 10.
So take half. And allocate it to a sector that hasn't done well. Because when the money starts moving around, if you do it before everybody else, the money will move to those sectors that have underperformed, and you'll make money now in those sectors.
That's right.
So definitely you can't just let it sit there.
Definitely not rocket science, but hard to be disciplined. And that's what we do. We help clients be disciplined. We help clients put together that plan and keep that discipline to understand that, hey, I've got the right plan going, and I'm going to keep on that plan. That's what we do.
So, let's hit the phone.
Let's try sneaking a call. Norma?
Yeah, Norma's been patiently waiting in Tonawanda. How are you, Norma?
Good, doing well. Just about to walk into my doctor, so I'll make this quick.
Okay.
I just found out through my daughter, who for, you know, many reasons had to sign up at the New York State Insurance for her kids. Well, when she signed up, she has found out that she is going to be paid. Not only will we take care of the children's medical, which I really don't have a problem with, but they pay the moms and dads $41 to take their children to the doctor.
Oh, good. Seems like a good use of
nice.
The children get their, you know, go to the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
She will get paid when she goes for her mammograms and pap smears. And it's like they got to bribe these people to do the right thing.
Yeah, well, that's what they do, sure. Yeah.
Well, it's unfortunate. Sure. There's a lot of people that really don't take care of their kids. Yeah. You hate to say that, but.
Yeah. But is $41 really going to get them to do that? I mean, I don't know.
No. Yeah, look, if you've got to get paid to take care of your kids, there is much bigger issues.
And there is.
Not the incentive, right?
Norma, but you bring up the point that we've been saying throughout the last 20 years of doing this show. The state's broke, right? It's this stupidity of continuing to pay people to be poor. Our state budget is double that of Florida, and people continue to leave this state and move to Florida. Well, how could that be? It's because the wage earners, the people that get abused every single day, are sick and tired of it, and they're leaving because of that type of garbage. Somebody texted in 1.4 million state employees. Maybe we need more. Exactly.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
The problem.
That's exactly.
You got it. Hey,
point.
Norm. Thanks, Norma. Thanks for the call.
Thanks for the call. All right, 803-0930 *930 is a free call on a cell. 1-800-616-9236. A whole another hour to go. Do have to take a short break. Hop across the hall for the news here. Where's my outro music? Just don't have it. All right, there we go.
You don't
All
have.
Right.
We don't have Stay outro tuned. Music no. or intro music.
All right, financial guys, in for the great Sandy Beach. Right back here on News Radio 930 WBEN.